Hey, Trevor, did I ever tell you the one about the man who walked into the bar?
Did he hurt himself?
No, he was just curious.
Welcome to the Curious Fire podcast with your hosts, Alan Hennessy and Trevor Lorkings. This is the podcast that will ignite your thoughts and set your curiosity on fire. And now, here is this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to episode number 22 of the Curious Fire podcast. And this is the podcast to spark your curiosity. And my name is Alan Hennessy and I am joined by my co-host,
Mr. Trevor Lorkings. Yes. How are you doing today, Alan?
I'm good. It feels like I haven't seen you in a year. Maybe that's because we haven't done this in over a year. Yes, we took a nice little break. A sort of an extended break. Just, you know yourself, life gets in the way, and we've been approached by a number of different people who have asked us about it. So we said, you know what, back by popular demand, we are here again with the Curious Fire podcast. So, Trevor, tell me, how have you been and what have you been up to before we get stuck into our chosen subject today?
I've been incredibly busy selling jam jars.
Hey!
Not only do I build websites, I built a website that sells jam jars. We moved into a new warehouse and packing loads of jars and selling loads of jars. So, yeah, that's what's changed. And probably why I haven't been doing podcasting for the last how many months?
It's a while, but you know what I think as well, sometimes it's good, because I think, you know, a lot of people do get into the rut of the same thing every day and every week, and you know, I think when you have a new opportunity and you have a little bit of a side step of your of careers, I think it's always a good thing to embrace that, if nothing else. I think it's embracing it and then, you know, redeveloping. And then when you come back 1,000 times stronger, I think, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to stop that sort of consistency. That's what you got to stop. Stop the consistency. You got to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're spontaneous. We're back.
Spontaneous planning, as they call it. Anyway, enough of that. Well, that's great. And I think what we'll do is we'll get into our chosen topic. And I tell you what it is, guys, if you haven't listened to the podcast before and you're just joining us, basically what we like to try and do is to spark your curiosity, make you think a little bit more. So that's the reason why we do this podcast, because myself and Trevor have been friends for a very long time now at this stage. It's just quite a long time. And we've often had conversations where we would talk on Zoom, or and whether that be in person or whatever, and we'd talk about different subjects, and we always said that they're great ideas for podcasts. So we decided that we were going to do them, and that's where we have done. So if you haven't listened to any of the previous episodes, please do so, because they are all very interesting and they definitely will spark your curiosity. So today our chosen topic is, Trevor, I'll let you tell them.
How big is intelligence?
Oh, and we're off already. Straight in. No messing around.
Look at my tape measure here. How big is it? 3 inches? 6, 25 inches? 7 foot? What do you reckon?
I don't know.
How do you measure intelligence now? How big is it? That's what we want to know. Because all this kind of vibe of artificial intelligence, people are all getting excited about it. It's the buzzword talking, and you've all got to be into AI, and it's the future and everything. But it sort of starts your brain thinking, well, what actually is intelligence? And then, like you always say, isn't it? If you can't measure it, you can't monitor it.
Mm.
Even if you know what intelligence is, if you don't know how big it is now to measure it, then what can you do with it?
Yeah, and I think that's very important to say that, because, you know, when I think about intelligence, I sort of say to myself, okay, right, but how big is my intelligence? That's a very, very, I suppose, a curious question to ask. But, you know, I think, like, you think about it over the last number of years, and especially the way, you know, like, we've been away for a while, and the advances in technology have been just so vast. Like, we've even have a new name for Twitter. Like, it's now X and stuff like that. And, you know, God of the days when we used to be doing simple stuff, now it's a lot more complex. But I think, I suppose, in the last, whatever, six months to a year, artificial intelligence has really just blown up. But I think before you even get to the artificial intelligence, and we'll talk about that, but I think intelligence is probably, I think we take it for granted, you know, I'm intelligent, or yes, or I have intelligence. But actually, have you ever tried to measure it? It's a hard question to answer, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I always had the nickname when I was a kid as Clever Trevor, so I reckon I must be pretty intelligent. That's what I was told anyway. So,
well, that's what drew me to you.
But it's also one, what is intelligence? Because it's kind of one of the things we all kind of think we know what it actually is, but when you kind of get to the nitty gritty, what actually is it? It kind of gets a bit blurry and a bit fuzzy and a bit kind of, and you'd ask different people, they all have different views of life, you know. But having a look on this old Google thing, which still seems to be something people look at, the gist of it, as far as I can gather from those that know on Google, is it's linked to learning, experience, understanding and reasoning.
But
that's the very gist of it, rather than going into the lots of detail, because that's a whole other subject. And it's kind of, when we tap into like the artificial side of things, has it got all those elements, or is it just lots of data, isn't it? And I think the AI thing has come at us so quick, we haven't sort of stopped and stood back and thought, well, actually, what is intelligence? What is our intelligence as humans? And what is the artificial version of the intelligence? Because if we don't know what it is for us, how on earth do we know what it is when it comes to an artificial version? And I think it's because it's come so quick, we haven't stopped and thought, oh, hang on a sec. It's, here's this fantastic new thing called artificial intelligence, and off we go. And we kind of haven't really engaged with what actually it is, because we don't actually know what our own intelligence perhaps is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think with that, when you think about that, I'm just sitting here, as I always do when we have these conversations, is I'm actually sort of questioning myself and saying, well, what is my intelligence? And I think there's I think it's down to the individual, because I think we all have our own perceptions of our own intelligence, and how we define it would be the sort of the thing that I would think about. You know, like I'm thinking here, as you say, there's a number of different elements to it, but I think it's down to what is, you know, your thinking of it. What is it, your understanding of your intelligence? Like I would call myself pretty intelligent. Yeah, I understand a lot of things and I can pick them up. There's subjects now that I won't understand. There's subjects that I can't even go down the road.
Yeah.
Like we talk about, for instance, like with you, you know, with coding and stuff like that, you can do that with, not so much with your eyes closed, but in a sense of, you know it a lot more because you have a higher, you have a higher intelligence of that. Whereas I would not have that. Whereas then we may talk about social media or something, or digital or something like that, or even podcasting. And I would maybe have a better intelligence of that. So I think it's down to individuals as much as anything else. I mean, that's where I think the measurement of it, I don't know how you could measure it. You know, you can actually very sit down and say, okay, well, I know about this, and just start, you know, reeling them off, because I think you'd be there from now till the eternity trying to figure that out, you know?
A simple popular thing is, I don't know whether you have it in Ireland, but over here is a very popular long-standing program called Countdown, where they do the word game.
Yeah, we do, yeah. Yeah, it's a great program.
And you have that. Okay, yeah, so you know the format. So it's pick 9 letters at random, isn't it, and come up with the longest word you can in, 30 seconds. And whoever does the most gets the points. But then there's a numbers round where you pick, I think it's 6 numbers, and then there's a random number comes up, and you have to do the maths out of the 6 numbers you've got left. You've got to do the maths to come up with how do you get the number that comes on the board. Now, I've watched that, and the letters rounds, forget it. I can't do it. The anagram at the end, you get a line letter anagram at the end, and you've got 30 seconds to get the word. And I could stare at those 9 letters all day, and I'm not getting the 9 letter anagram. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Yet the numbers, pretty good. Not every single one, but I'd give most of them a pretty good shot, and I would get there in the 30 seconds or there or thereabouts if I had to, sometimes quicker. So, you know, for me, the numbers comes naturally. The words and letters, no clue. So it does come on those very basic letters, numbers things. You've got that division there between some people are good at it, some people aren't. Mm. But it doesn't mean some more intelligent than others. It's just their thing. But when you then add, like you say, other levels of subject matter and other tasks, it gets far more complex, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's the same where you look at, like, you know, for instance, you know, where some people are very creative, but some people are very analytical in the sense of the way they, and that's, I think that's just different forms of intelligence. It's, you know, some people's brains work one way, other people's brains work other ways. I mean, there's that type of thing, as you say about the numbers and the letters, you know, some people will get the letters quicker than they would the numbers, you know? So I think there's the, and then, it's again, it's down to your level of intelligence. But if you say, you know, it's down to your level of intelligence, how do you define that? I don't think you can actually define, you know, what's my level of intelligence? I don't know on a scale of 1 to 10 where my level of intelligence is. Likewise, I wouldn't say you would know either where your level of intelligence is. Although you, knowing you, you'd probably say 10.
Why is 10 the best?
Well, there you go again. See, here we go. Oh, no, throw spanners into work. I'm just waiting for in my previous life, and I'm expecting quotes again, as usual. Like, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know Trevor has a multitude of fantastic quotes that he always comes out with, and I'm going to put him on the spot now in a while and find out a good one. But you know, we'll see. Anyway, sorry, I sidetrack. Go ahead, there, Trevor.
Yeah, no, I think it's different in people, and I think it's also, I don't know that different people have different inclinations to be more intelligent. Mm. If that's a thing, can you be more intelligent by learning? Because if intelligence is coming back down from learning things, understanding things, experiencing, gaining knowledge, and applying the knowledge, and I think that's part of the key to it. You know, you can read a book and gain knowledge, but unless you actually understand that and start learning, experiencing, and applying it, have you really gained anything from that knowledge? Yeah, I'm sure there's more depth to it like that. And I find if we touch on the artificial side of it thing and our side of it, the two run in parallel.
Yeah, I think they do.
I think in our lifetime, we have run in parallel with many things, and we've seen technology pop up and you go, wow, that's clever. But we've had the time to cope with it and understand it. And I just remembered what back in the 70s when I first had a handheld calculator. You weren't allowed to use them in maths class because that was like, it seemed really bad. But you have these handheld thing, which is brick with 0 to 9 and plus, minus, and equals. And the cool kids worked out, yeah, you can do 2 plus 2 is 4, and it gave you that answer when you do the sums. But the real cool kids worked out, if you typed in 0.1134 and turned it upside down, it says hello.
Yeah. There was also another one as well, but I won't go into that one either.
But we had time, we had time to use it and play with it and understand it, experience it and try different things. And the initial kind of, wow, this is amazing, 374 divided by 20 square root multiplied by 3, there's the answer within milliseconds. We'd never had anything before. I still had a slide rule. Yeah. I was doing stuff. So this machine very quickly gave you these answers by tapping buttons. But as our human intelligence could kind of cope with it, because you think, well, it's not super duper clever, it's just repeating processes and doing stuff. But it does it very, very quickly, quicker than the human mind could do it. So it was quite a handy little tool, wasn't it? You know, and during the school age years or whatever, the school's kind of saying, well, perhaps you can use them in class and exams maybe. And, you know, we could evolve with it. And the desktop calculator didn't get more complicated. I mean, some had extra function buttons and some extra algebra things on it, but they didn't get overly complicated. And we cope with it. And everybody's, yeah, calculators, they're fine. We understand them. We use them. A great, you know, time-saving tool. And I think the intelligence of the calculator and our intelligence kept pace.
Yeah. It's the same. I suppose when you look at that, then I suppose the next step on that was
from the calculator to a computer that did more things than just adding up numbers. I still remember when I first had spell check.
It's true.
You could type a letter on a screen, very basic screen, but it tell you spelt things wrong. You're like, wow, that's clever. How does it do that? But again, you could kind of assimilate that and go, well, it's just got a dictionary in there and it's matching letters and it understands how to spell things. And it's just, so yes, it's processing it very quickly and it can do it at the speed of light, quicker than we can, but it's not super clever. It's just processing words. You know, but that then expanded into grammar checking and translation, which was another level and another level. But again, we kind of thought, well, yeah, it translates English to French. It's just two dictionaries. They map the words together and, you know, it's kind of...
It's the next step,
But again, our intelligence could cope and stay pace with it. But yeah, then the internet, we plugged in these computers into the internet, and that was another step. And I think a lot of people are like, wow, this internet, what, you connect all these computers together and suddenly the whole world is connected on how's now that. And a lot of people, their brains started melting and going, I can't, no, that's not going to work. That's weird. No, I won't do that. You know, that ain't gonna happen. And I think it was a bit of a leap beyond some people's intelligence to cope with its concept of what it could do. I think it was the first time in our lifetime where we had this divergence between the kind of early signs of artificial intelligence. You know, you could go on search engines and type things in. You could type a phrase or a question, it would come back with, you know, find me a plumber in Bray, and Google or Ask Jeeves or whoever would come back very quickly, what, a couple of seconds in those days? 2 or 3 seconds, you would get a list of plumbers in Bray.
Yeah. And then, as you say, it just, you know, and I think people were sort of saying, oh, well, this is quite clever. Like, we spoke about it off air, and I was saying, like, before, obviously, we had the internet and people, things like that. We had stuff like the Golden Pages or the Yellow Pages or whatever you want to call it, whatever format. It was basically, it was a book that had businesses in it, and you clicked, you searched the certain page or whatever it is, or the particular profession that you were looking for, and you found the person that was close to you and said, oh yeah, that's grand. And that sort of, it was a progression of that, whereas we were able to do it a lot quicker, and then it just sort of grew. And I think that people were sort of, as you said at the start, especially when the internet came out, oh my God, this is incredible. And, you know, I mean, but I think people embraced it. But, you know, there was some, you know, resistance against it. But I think at the end of the day, people said, okay, right, I can cop onto this. I can figure this out. I understand where they're going. Yes, it's a load of computers. We've done the episode where we talked about where is that main computer of the internet and whatever. Like, so that was like, if you can go back and listen to that, which is quite an interesting one. But I think what we'd done was, is we sort of visualized that in our head, and we said, okay, it's a load of computers and they're all talking to each other, and then that particular information's been found, and then it's coming back to us, and we're getting that information straight away. And as you say, it was, you know, within a couple of seconds or whatever, and it's moved on. And we, as I suppose as a human species or human beings, we will evolve with that. We sort of went, okay, yeah, we understand that. But like, you go back, if we think about it, years ago, you know, we had the newspaper, then you had the radio, then you had the TV, then you had the internet, then you had all these, and it is a natural progression, and we were able to, I think, cope with them steps as the time went by. And, you know, then obviously we moved on to social media. Like, you're of an age of, like myself, where we remember before there was social media, and when people started using, so when social media came out first and people started talking about it, people were saying, oh, I never use that, I don't want anyone know my own business and whatever. Now we're putting what we have for a dinner up on the internet, on these social media platforms. We can't get enough of them.
I remember when Twitter first came out, Twitter, and it's like, so what do you do? What? How does it work? What? And I signed up for an account. It's like, so you just post, was it 140 characters, whatever, in the early days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you just write something very short and post anymore. Who am I writing to? Who's going to read it? Yeah. Who do I know? And it was weird because you just didn't get what Twitter was. When it first, you know, the first few weeks of Twitter, it's like, well, there's nobody there.
Yeah. But
no one's and I actually then got rid of it. I thought, what's going on? There's nothing happening. I don't know anybody and no one's reading. I couldn't see any point to it whatsoever. And I actually got off of Twitter, and it wasn't until years later I then got back on again, when it sort of got some momentum to it, and people started to realize you can have conversations with people all around the world and connect with people, and, you know, and it is now obviously grown into what it has. But I think with all of that, we've kept up with trying to understand how it's grown.
Yeah.
You know, and most people in social media, you know, may not be some top expert and in all the workings of Facebook and all the rest of it, but they realize they can talk to people, connect with people, join a group, discuss things in their subjects they want to discuss, share pictures and videos, and they kind of get it as much as they need to get it to make use of it and get, you know, value out of it, you know, because it's evolved at a pace that our intelligence and our learning and our understanding and our comprehension can cope with.
Yeah. And that's where, like, as you were saying, when you started on Twitter first, you say, oh, I just write something, and you would have wrote something, you know, you would have put in something there, which is your intelligence shown. True. Yeah, yeah. You know, so there's a level of intelligence with everything that we do. But I think where we've got to think about this is that, you know, we were sort of we're embracing these technologies and we were learning them and we were understanding how we could best, you know, manipulate them for the right reasons. But I think what we done was is we were able to, you know, go with that, and we as a natural progression of where we were going to move to on the next stage. And it's helped so many people. It's like, look, you look at the pandemic and stuff like that. That saved so many people because they were able to talk. So there was a really good element to that. Now, obviously, there's good and bad in everything that happens. But at the same token, it's a level of understanding of what I should be, you know, what I can and what I can't do, or what I want to do, or what I'm not supposed to do. So I think there's that level of intelligence. So that's where I think, as we spoke about at the start, where how do you measure intelligence? I don't think there is a measurement scale on it, but I do think that there is an understanding. It's hard to explain what I'm actually trying to say, but I think it's, we know ourselves where our level of intelligence is. So moving from that onwards, you know, the next iteration was, of course, what we're talking about now today is that AI has sort of become this monster, an absolute monster of it's the next generation of where we're going with, you know, digital and social and, you know, just intelligence, I suppose, you know, take
that's where the measurement thing comes in. Even though you haven't got a scale of your intelligence is 7 or 25 or whatever, I think when you look at the, you know, from the handheld calculator, which in our lifetime is our start of intelligence, wasn't it? Digital, electronic, whatever you want to call it. The scale, if you ever measured it, is that our intelligence was on par with the technology that came with us, and we both grew together. Yeah. And we both managed to, you know, okay, a new gadget come out, and then, you know, Google may intelligence may be beyond what we thought it was, but it wasn't off the scale ridiculous. You could cope with the gist of it and you'd play with it. You thought, well, that's quite clever. I can find plumbers here or whatever. And we grew with it. But I think what's happened probably in the last, for most people, probably in the last 12 months or so, the artificial intelligence thing has come on the scene. And it's such a growth in intelligence artificially. Our intelligence can't comprehend where it is on the scale. Mm. You know, if we've gone from the calculator at 1 to the internet at 10, the number now for artificial intelligence, it's not 11 or 12. It's not 100.
No.
It's just, you can't put a number on it. No. And it's kind of like, well, has it a use? Because if we can't comprehend how big it is and we're left behind thinking it's such a massive thing, where on earth do I start with it? What do I do? I can't. It was probably like the early days of the internet. I remember I met some people trying to explain to them, because I was doing web design in the early days, you know, what Google was.
Mm.
And some people just froze going, I just use Yellow Pages because I've got a book on my shelf and I can pick it down.
Exactly.
I stick with that because I can cope with that book. It's got 300 pages in it and I'm good with that, you know. And they couldn't comprehend the scale of what the internet was. And I think that's where we are now. A lot of people are like, how big is the artificial intelligence? And it's not big. It's not huge. We haven't got a word for it. It's just crazy. It's the biggest number you can think of, times the biggest number you think of, and add, keep going.
Yeah, it's like one. I don't know. I heard someone saying it's like, if you can imagine every person in this world all thinking at the same time, and then multiply that by a billion. Yeah. You still wouldn't be near it. You still wouldn't be near the amount of intelligence it has. Now,
is it too big? I mean, is it just so big?
But
you don't know where to start.
Yeah, but like, okay, right. I would say, yeah, you're probably right in that sense. But I also was, I always, and you know me, I'm one of these logical type of things. And I always sort of think of the holistic side of this type of thing. Is that, okay, right. It is huge. Right. You look at the internet. Right, if there's if every home on this planet has a internet connection, that's a huge amount. And like, not just one computer in a house or one connection, there's multiple connections in a house.
Yeah.
So if you have a house of 5 people or 2 people or 5 people or 10 people or whatever it is, and they're all still, like, so you think of the size of the internet, you think of the vast technology that's out there that we don't even, like,
Most of it's invisible.
Yeah, you, I, and probably a lot of people listening to this podcast have not even tipped the iceberg of what the internet could do and what we can find out on the internet.
Yeah.
Right? So we now look at artificial intelligence. Yes, it is a huge, huge piece of, you know, intelligence now that's working, right? And a lot of people out there are very scared of it because they're scared because they don't understand it and they think that it's a bad thing. Like, automatically, when if I was to say to you as a person who's listened to this podcast, what visually does AI look like to you? You're going to say, oh, it's this computer, it's a computer with, you know, so many, like it's a human, it's like a robot type of thing. And that's the way we think of it. And we're saying, okay, well, oh my God, what am I going to do? Or you think of it as this billions of computers all processing information. But if we look at it that way, we're always going to be scared of it. I think what we've got to do is we've got to embrace it, and because we're never going to be able to comprehend the extent or the vastness of what it is. But we said that the same with social media. When we started, you know, like I can talk to someone in New Zealand, I can, you know, and we couldn't comprehend it. But then we started to understand and say, okay, right, well, look, I know someone in, you know, Eastern Australia or Western Australia. Yeah. And I wonder if they are online. Yes, obviously you go, okay, yeah, grand. Now, that person in Western Australia knows that particular person, this other person. I don't know them. So I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to be engaging with them. I'm not going to be talking to them. So hence, it's only useful to me in a different aspect. But it's the level that I need to be on is where I need to be with social media or with digital or whatever it may be. So if you take that on the basis of AI, I spent a week, and I spoke to you about this before we came on air. I spent a week, I spent a day. I says, right, I'm going to take a day and I need to learn about AI. I need to understand what this ChatGPT does and all this. So I said, I'll take a day. I took a day. That turned into 2 days, turned into 3 days, turned into a week, where I sat and I was literally looking at all these AI tools and it got overwhelming for me. But what I done was, is I didn't go, oh, well, I'm not touching that again. I'm not going near it. What I done is, okay, I like that one and I like this one. And I also like that one. That has an element of what I want that I can learn, I can use it for. And they're the ones that I've sort of worked with. I know that there's hundreds of thousands of them out there. Of these different you know, types of AI tools out there.
Yeah. But
I'm using the ones that I'm comfortable with. I'm using the ones that are of value to me. So hence, I'm not afraid of it. I'm embracing it and I'm saying, well, I'm going to use this because I think, you know, and you spoke about it earlier on when we were talking off air about, you know, what is AI? And I gave the example there of saying people think it's like a human or it's like a robot that has things.
Yeah.
And you pointed out, and I think you should share that with us about the data that it's collecting.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a huge debate whether it's intelligent or not intelligent, and we could talk for another 10 weeks about that and not get an answer. But to me, it's like the early days of the internet. It's data being shoved around computers. You know, you put data in, you get data out. And to me, the AI is just the same. It's just lots of data, a lot of data, more data than you thought it was, and extra data, and lots of processing. And it's just doing it. I don't know how, but they just does it very, very quick and very accurate, you know. But you have to look at it. Is it just lots of data?
Yeah.
You know, our intelligence, we have data. You know, we can think logically. We can process data. But I think our intelligence has something else that has got this process of being able to learn and experience things and understand things and apply things and reason and have curiosity and have fear, have excitement, have an all whole host of different senses. Whereas I think the artificial intelligence misses a lot of that. And I think there's degrees of what it misses and what it doesn't. But to me, it's if you just think of it, it's just lots and lots of data, and then think, well, there's actually more than you thought it was, and then there's more again, and it just can process it incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
and give you an answer. And it's no different from put on my calculator, 2 + 2 = and it tells me it's 4.
Yeah.
But it's that multiplied by a big number that you can't even imagine how big the number is.
Yeah. And I think that's the key to it. That's the important point of here is that it's, you know, for, you know, if we think about it, if you look at AI, and I've done sort of some research around this, and I've sort of, you know, sat back and I've said, okay, right, I have all this research in front of me. Yet again, you're tipping the iceberg. But what I done was I sat back and I said, okay, right, but let's look at this holistically. You know, what is AI? What is it doing? And what are the capabilities? And what can I do with it? And how am I going to use this? Right. Mm. And at the end of the day, when you boil it all down, it's a machine. It's a tool. It's a tool that we use. It doesn't have that human emotion of empathy, as you say, and fear and excitement and all that. We process that. We're only going to push. But if you think about all of the people that are using this, it's constantly learning, and it's learning at that pace that we cannot even comprehend. We literally couldn't understand it. We wouldn't be able to take that information in. You know, our brains would explode at this, you know, for the amount of information. But it's constantly people putting information in, asking the questions, and it's coming back with answers. It's just data that's moving left, right, and center. At a phenomenal pace, which is absolutely fascinating when you think about it. That this, you know, and I had, like, it's been around for, it's like, I read somewhere in the report that it's been around since around 1956 at its most basic form. So it's not something that's just happened overnight. It's just something that has been released overnight to a general public.
I think that's
as you say, that's a whole different story and a whole different episode to go into.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of people do fear anything new, don't they? I mean, new is sort of fear thing. And but I think the analogy you could throw at it is, if you go swimming, are you afraid of swimming?
No.
So you can go down Bray seafront, dip in the water and go for a swim.
Yeah.
And you're quite happy with that. And you have no concern how big the oceans are.
Very true. You're
just in your little bit of brave seafront. You paddle about a bit. And there you go. 20 minutes, ice cream, cup of tea, come home again. You don't sit there going, hang on a sec, the ocean. Do you know how big the ocean is?
Go on.
You can Google it. And there's various figures. It's 352 and noughts and noughts and noughts and noughts and noughts and more noughts and then loads more noughts, gallons. I mean, the number is so big you can't comprehend how many gallons the oceans are. But it doesn't matter, because when you go down Bray seafront, you don't worry about that. You don't go, I'm not going to go swimming, because unless I understand all of the oceans and all of the seas all across the whole planet, I'm not going to go in the water in Bray seafront.
No.
You just go and do your swimming.
Yeah. And that is really what we're talking about, isn't it? It's about, you know, I'm going to use the analogy, dip your toe in the water, but you don't have to go that deep. You just have to, you know, do what you're comfortable, what you feel safe doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And use it. And then, you know, and I think that's a really good analogy of it, because that's exactly what it is. When you think about it, think about the ocean as AI, but think about going for your swim as dipping your toe in the water or looking at AI. It's up to you how deep you go. It's up to you where you swim. It's up to you where you travel to within the AI world.
Yeah, and as you experience that and you learn and understand more, your intelligence will get bigger.
Exactly. As always, a joy to sit and chat and talk. And I'm delighted to be back. And I'm so looking forward to our next episode and many of them over the next course of the next couple of months. So, guys, thanks so much for listening to their podcast today. And don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on all of the podcast providers. It is so easy. Please do subscribe, do like the podcast, do share it out with your friends, your community, your friends, your family, whoever it is that is interested, that is curious, because we want them as our listeners. And the more people that listen to it, the more we can delve into much, much more topics and understandings and try and, you know, just have a chat about it and make you get you thinking. Trevor, closing words, as always, I'm going to leave with you.
Just dip your toe in the water.
Stay curious.
Thank you for listening to the Curious Fire podcast with Alan Hennessy and Trevor Lorkings. Join us next week for another episode that will ignite your thoughts and set your curiosity on fire. Remember to stay curious.